So we're in our series, Stronger Words, and we're just going to close and finish this series today. It's the fourth part of it. We've all heard this statement, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. How many people agree with that statement? Okay, so we're unanimous in not agreeing with it. I came across a quote from Stephen Fry. There's something you didn't think you'd hear a pastor quoting Stephen Fry this morning. Okay, but he says this. It's a great picture of him too. But he says, sticks and stones, sorry. I find that on the internet. I'm not being harsh on him. It says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will always hurt me. Bones mend and actually become stronger in the very place they were broken and where they have knitted up. Mental wounds can ooze and grind for decades and be reopened by the quietest whisper. And we've definitely experienced that within our lives, many of us, I'm sure. The Word of God actually says this in Proverbs 18:21 about words. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love its fruit, those who love it will eat its fruit. It's got the power of life and death. And so that's what we've been really looking at, is the strength of words. We've been looking at the power of the tongue over this series and our need to tame it and the inconsistent product that so often comes from our lives. We've been challenged by James in James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, of all the things that James is saying there. And we're challenged to speak stronger words, to encourage and to build up rather than to tear down and dismantle. We've been encouraged to be in control of our tongues rather than allowing it to slip continually. And I don't know about you, certainly while I've been preaching through this series, you become very aware of the things that are coming out of your mouth. And I know a few people have said to me recently as well that through this series, they're just aware whenever something comes out of their mouth. They're like, oh dear goodness, you know, need to keep that in there and stop those negative things from coming out of our mouths. But today what I want to do is I want to turn it around slightly. And rather than it just being about the words that come from our mouths, I kind of want our focus to be on the words that haven't come from our mouths but have come from others' mouths towards us. Words that have been spoken towards us. Things that have been said towards you and me. And I really believe that God's going to do something in some of our hearts this morning and break the power of some words that have been spoken over our lives. So I'm here to do business today. I'm here because I believe that God is going to do something in our midst and he's going to change hearts and lives and even change what you view your identity to be if you'll open up your heart to him. So you up for that? Okay. Thank you for that one person. Well, I'm up for it, and I suppose that's all that matters. I'm up here. I've got the mic, so I'm up for it. So if we believe the scriptures, that the tongue is the power of life and death, then that's not only true of what we say to others, but what others have said to us. Some people will have spoken life to us. Some people will have spoken encouragement. They'll have spoken blessing, hope, belief. They'll have spoken really good things over our lives. And probably right now while I'm talking, you're thinking of those people. You're thinking of people who have been an encouragement. Those people who have said, I'm proud of you. Those people who have uplifted you and helped you and spoken words of encouragement and hope whenever you needed them. So there have been people who have spoken life into us, but also, no doubt, some of us will also have experienced those who have spoken death. Now, whenever we've looked at this series, we don't mean literal death, but we mean that it has killed things that are within us. It has destroyed things that are within us. It has brought discouragement, criticism, belittlement, gossip, hurtful, harmful words. And so it's on those that I want to focus this morning. Words can hurt. Words can become a label that we wear. If you get called something powerfully enough or often enough, it becomes a label that we wear. Something that has been said to us, over us, it becomes part of who we are. And so this morning what I want to do is get us to think about that. And so I want you to think while I'm speaking. I don't want you just to be listening to my words, but I want you to be internalizing and thinking, well, what are the negative words that have been spoken over me? What label has been put on you? You know, we live in a world that wants to label you, that wants to kind of put a stamp on you and say, oh, that's what you're like. That's who you are. That's the words that are over you. And so, in some ways, I want you to imagine, if you will, with me today, what label. I noticed for the creche children, they get their names written on, and then I think they put it on their back so that they can't reach it and take it off. But they get their names on, and they'll be running about later with their label on, saying their name. And I just wonder what label, whenever you look at your heart of hearts, what label do you see? What has been written over the heart of your life? And so I want to look at the fact that we've been labeled. And I want us to think about a character in Scripture who was labeled, a guy called Jacob. So if you have your Bibles, will you turn to Genesis chapter 25? And we're actually going to read quite a lot of Jacob's story today. So I would like you to stay open in Genesis, and any other scriptures we'll have coming up on the screen. So we're going to look at Genesis 25, 19 to 26. And we're going to have a look at the start of Jacob's life. So Genesis 25, 19 to 26. This is the account of the family line of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramean from Padam Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went on to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the elder will serve the younger." When the time came for her birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. And so we see the birth of Esau and Jacob, and Jacob's name straight away. And many of us already know what Jacob means. Jacob means the holder of the heel, okay? Literally the holder of the heel. But it carries a connotation that he would be a supplanter. Now I kind of had to go and have a look. I kind of know in my head what supplanter means, but I went to the dictionary to find out what it meant and what it was saying. And it says that a supplanter is one who takes over or who takes the place of someone else on purpose. It is one who wrongfully or illegally seizes and holds the place of another. So basically, this name can mean lots of different things. It can mean manipulator, deceiver. It can mean a liar. So it's a lovely name, and I'm sure some of you have named your children Jacob, okay? And if your name's James, I'm looking at James. James comes from Jacob. We were joking about this during the week. Lovely name. But in Hebrew, you see it's not the same here. We pick names generally here because we like the name, don't we? Okay, so we kind of pick it, and you think, oh, it's a really nice name. Let's call our child that name. So, for example, my nephew is called Cameron James. Now, I don't know whether there's any Camerons here. Please don't admit it. But Cameron actually means crooked nose, right? So if you were to take a Hebrew view of his name, it would be the crooked nose deceiver, right? What about those for words spoken over your life? But they just like the words and the name, and it doesn't mean the same for us in our culture as it did in Hebrew. But literally, this is like calling Jacob was literally like calling, in English, one of our children, manipulator. That's what we're going to call him. Your name's going to be manipulator. Your name's going to be, you know, what did you call him? Deceiver. Sorry, what? Deceiver. So Stephen and Liz were over visiting their new grandson at the weekend, Rory, which is a great name, and we're asking, has he got golf clubs in his hands yet or whatever, and it's a beautiful name. But can you imagine if Stephen got the phone call from Joel, oh, your next grandson's arrived, well, what are you going to call him? Liar. Liar Robinson. Like, no, why would you call him that? But that's literally what's been said for Jacob. That's what it would have sounded like. That's what it would have been for him. So he's walking around, and that's his name, supplanter. The one who steals, the one who takes. That's what's been spoken over him for his whole life. And it was a name that was given to him by his parents. And so I wonder, what label are you wearing? What label, what name badge is on you? Because it's not the same for us, as I've said, in our culture. We kind of name each other by the names we like, and sometimes there's significance, sometimes there's not. But what label, not just the name that you've been given, but what has been said over you that has become like a label or a name? And who has given you that label and that name? For example, sometimes parents, you know, we can get a little bit frustrated and we can say things that we maybe didn't want to say over our children, but we've said them and they come out and we're loose with our tongues. And maybe we've been on the end of that from some of our parents, and things like, yeah, I wish you were more like your brother. Well, sometimes, I know that sounds a bit funny, but sometimes that can label us as being, well, actually, I'm not enough. And we were a different label. I wish you were more like your sister. Can you do nothing right? In a moment of frustration, can write a label over someone's heart for a long, long time. You're no good at. Look, are we so-and-so? Near said a name there, but then you might have been thinking, oh, he's saying that over me. Are we so-and-so? He's no good at sport. Are we so-and-so? He's just no good at music. I start to challenge people now who go, I'm just no good at music. I say, have you tried? Have you actually tried? But we get labels put over us. Parents, teachers, now we have amazing teachers who come to this church, and the teaching profession, definitely I have so much love and credit for them, but we've heard stories where sometimes teachers have said over children, you'll never amount to anything. Some of my friends, some of the people I know, even today, still are trying to prove their teachers wrong. You'll never amount to anything. You're good for nothing. What about society? How it labels us and speaks things over our lives. Whether it's your social standing, your education, the grades that you got in school, whether it's the job that you have or the car that you drive, society's continually trying to put labels on us. This is who you are. And very often we accept those labels, we wear them. Whenever we're growing up, kids in the playground, think for those who were bullied, who grew up feeling that they weren't strong enough, that they're weak, that they're helpless. Some of us who have grown up in religious environments, and I'm all for the Bible, so please don't, obviously I'm up here preaching it, but sometimes we can grow up in environments where it's condemnation, where it's, you're not good enough, you're not enough, your performance isn't enough for God, that you'll never attain. So we carry this sense of feeling guilty and condemned all the time. You don't measure up. Sometimes we can say stuff over ourselves, can't we? We can say negative things over ourselves and label ourselves. Of course, we've got the enemy, the accuser, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us in our minds and in our hearts and would want to say negative things over us. And also, sometimes there are circumstances that come about in life and they seek to label us. They seek to stamp something over our lives. And so a few examples of that. And of course, we all handle these things differently. And for some people, it's like water over a duck's back. But some of us might be struggling with some of these things. So for example, someone who struggled with unemployment, and there's this unemployment, or you've never got the job that you actually really wanted, and there's a sense of feeling like a failure and a sense of not achieving what you want to be able to achieve, and it can speak words over your life. Some people who have gone through bankruptcy and difficulty and failure within business, some people who have gone through family breakdown and what it speaks into your life, you know, I'd never be a good mom, I'll never be a good dad, you know, those who have had wayward children and the children haven't gone the way that you want them to go, and sometimes those circumstances speak stuff over our lives, and maybe we never say it out of our mouths, but we know deep within it's a label that we're wearing, that we're struggling with. There's so many circumstances that can speak into our lives and into our hearts and label us. For some of us, those words become like names that we feel we are known by, names that we know ourselves by, really deep within. How we identify ourselves, they become a label that's written across our hearts, or they become the script of our lives, the story of our lives. And so my question is this: what is your name? Has there been something said, words spoken over you and over your life that you have believed and allowed to become a label? Is there stuff that you're just believing Even subconsciously, that you, if you think now, yeah, do you know what? That deeply affects me. What is your name? What is your label? And that was certainly true for Jacob. Because as we get to know more about Jacob, we see that he starts to live up to his name. And we notice this within the story in the life of Jacob. So if you go, and if you've kept it open there, look at Genesis 25, and we'll read 27 to 34. And it goes on to say, the boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. He manipulated his brother in a moment of weakness into giving him his birthright. Now flick over to Genesis chapter 27. Now bear with me because I want to read quite a bit of this because I was going to give you the summary of the story, and the more I read, I sort of realized that God wrote the story better than I can tell you it. Is that fair enough? So I'm going to read it to you. Okay. And so from verse 1 in Genesis chapter 27, when Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for his elder son Esau and said to him, my son, here I am, he answered. Isaac said, I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die. Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, but my brother Esau is a hairy man while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. His mother said to him, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me. So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of her elder son Esau, which he had in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and bread she had made. He went into his father and said, my father. Yes, my son. He answered, who is it? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. Isaac asked his son, how did you find it so quickly, my son? The Lord your God gave me success, he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not. Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. Are you really my son Esau? He asked. I am, he replied. Then he said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing. Jacob brought it to him and he ate. And he brought some wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness and an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. After Isaac finished blessing him and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, my father, please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. His father Isaac asked him, who are you? I am your son, he answered. Your firstborn Esau. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me too, my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he has taken advantage of me. He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing. Then he asked, haven't you saved any blessing for me? Isaac answered Esau, I have made him Lord over you and made all his relatives his servants. And I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son? Now, thank you for your patience as I read through that, but hopefully you got the picture of what was happening within that story and how then Jacob deceived Esau. He deceived his father into receiving this blessing. I just love how the Bible writes things, and I find it funny how goatskin, you know, and putting it on, and that passed as his brother. I mean, how hairy was he? But Jacob, he lives up to his name. He steals not just the birthright, but he steals the blessing that his brother was supposed to have. And it's really poignant what Esau says in verse 36. He says, isn't he rightly named Jacob? He's living up to his name. He's living up to the thing that's been spoken over him for years and for years. And you know, for you and me, we too can live up to those things that have been spoken over us. It can happen for us in two ways. We can kick against the things that have been said to us, or we can live up to it. Let me just deal a wee bit with the idea of kicking against it. Anybody ever eaten in Witherspoon's? Certainly if you've been over in England, you go in and it's a good cheap meal. It also sells other stuff, but we don't buy that. But if you ever go into Witherspoon's, anybody been to Witherspoon's? You've seen? It's a massive chain right across the UK of stores, of restaurants and bars and things like that. Well, there's a bit of a story behind the guy that started Witherspoon's. His name's actually not Witherspoon. That's the name of one of his teachers. And this teacher told this guy, you'll never become anything. And so he decided to open up a chain of restaurants called Witherspoon's. So everywhere his teacher would go, he would see his name on it and be reminded that he told this boy, you'll never become anything. Now, I love that story. I think it's a brilliant story. But that can also have a negative connotation on our lives. Even whenever we're kicking against the stuff that people have spoken over us, we're going from the wrong place. We're moving from a place of brokenness, a place of I'll prove you wrong, a place that's not overly healthy. Because many people, as we kick against the words, you'll never amount to anything or you'll never be a success, many people who kick against those, they have those words imprinted on their lives to such a degree that their whole life is lived out trying to prove that statement wrong. Trying to prove their father wrong that says, you're useless or you're nothing. Trying to prove someone wrong. And we see that right throughout society. And parents who have even passed away, and they're still trying to live up to what their parents said they would never be. So we're kicking against. And it's not a healthy place to be. People who kick against often become workaholics. They become so driven that they've no time for real life and the enjoyment of life and the abundant life that God wants for us. Now, this isn't what I want to focus on today, but it is an issue, and I wanted just to highlight it. But there are those of us who live up to the name that we've been given. Just as Jacob lived up to his name, I just wonder, is there some of us today and we're living up to that name, that negative thing that was said over our lives? Well, how does it work? Well, for Jacob, we know that he was called manipulator and he just lived up to it. He just did it. That's what he accomplished. And for those of us who wear a label, so we wear a label and we kind of think failure because we tried a few things and we didn't succeed, or people told us that we'd never be anything, and we wear that. Sometimes it brings that we're paralyzed, that we're kind of broken, that we're fearful of trying. For those who sense that guilt, and we were guilty because we were told we'd never measure up, there's a sense of never finding freedom, never finding total release in God and what He wants to do for us. Do you know, many people who have been called ugly or fat or unattractive whenever they're growing up, and they find it difficult to accept compliments whenever they get a little bit older. And so they get older and somebody actually really does like them. Somebody actually really does find them attractive, both outside and inside and all parts of their lives. But they still find it really hard to take that. So you find people like that and you'll give them a compliment and they'll bounce it off. They'll knock it away. They'll find some way to be able to detract from that because the label they're wearing is a label that was given them. Ugly, fat, unattractive, unlovable, whatever it might be. For those who are struggling with rejection, and so what happens then? We wear this thing of, oh, well, I'm just naturally rejected, so I'm going to become a people pleaser. I'm going to do my best to try and get on the right side of people. I'm going to try and do all that I can in order to make people like me, trying to earn acceptance, fearful of relationships, all these kind of things that can come about and can happen. For those who are wearing a label of not good enough, do you know there's a sense of always trying to prove yourself, always trying to be better. Those who feel helpless, well, there's a sense of feeling of hopelessness that can come over your life. For those who are weak, well, then you capitulate to everything. For those who've been told you're stupid, there can be a sense of being afraid of learning or speaking out. And so there's often this, well, I'm not going to open my mouth because somebody will say, oh, you're just stupid. And there's this fear that comes over our lives, even things that may well have been said innocently over us, but have become part of our personality. For example, do you know, and we've been guilty of this, I've definitely been guilty of this in our house, and saying about one of our children, oh, she's our wee worrier. And by the way, I'm not going to be saying that anymore, because I really feel like what happens is, oh, that's just who I am. I'm just going to live up to that. And I'm just a wee worrier. That's just who I'm going to be. And so we need to be really careful of how we label people. I was talking to somebody about this during the week, and they said, actually, one of my parents said, you're our responsible one. And the other siblings had gone a bit wild, and she had stayed real steady. But she felt like a real responsibility to stay responsible and to always be the one that was even keeled within the family. Now, some of those are maybe small things, but they become labels that we wear. And some of us can have massive labels that I believe God wants to do something about. So here's the question. Thank you for staying with me. I know this stuff, you're coming and you're like, whoa, this is heavy this morning. But it's real stuff that we so often go through. What is the internal script that you're living off? What is the name that you're living up to? Well, Jacob lived up to his name, but thankfully it's not where the story ends, and everyone said amen to that. It's not where the story ends because Jacob had an encounter with God. So if you'll go to Genesis chapter 32. And Jacob has this encounter with God, and it changes everything for him. So Genesis 32, 21 to 30. In fact, let's go for 22 to 30. And it says, that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? He answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. So Jacob has this encounter with God. And in this encounter that he has with God, something's changed for him. So Jacob has lived all of his life with people saying, this is who you are, manipulator, liar, cheater. And he's lived up to that name. But then he encounters God. And he has this night where he wrestles with God. And he's wrestling with God. And it seems like this is very picture language for what he's going through with God. And he's wrestling. And God's trying to change him. And there's this to and fro. And eventually he's holding on to God and saying, I can't do this on my own anymore. I can't do this the way that I've been doing it. Things need to change. And in that encounter with God, God changes his name, something that's very, very significant. And God changes his name to Israel. Now, Israel, it's actually a difficult Hebrew word to translate and to understand fully what it means. But one of the most likely meanings that is there is that Jacob, the manipulator, the liar, gets changed to Israel. And as I say, one of the most likely translations is triumphant with God. That was a real eureka moment for me as I studied this week, because it was like, this guy who's tried to do it all himself, has tried to lie and manipulate and do everything himself, he encounters God and now becomes triumphant with God. Not on my own strength or my own things, but actually triumphant with God, with the help and the blessing of God. Triumphant with God. God changed his name. He spoke a better word over his life, a stronger word. And actually from that point on, things begin to change for Jacob. Right, so here's my point. God wants to speak stronger words over your life than other people have. Now, you've bore with me to get to this point. This is the good bit of the sermon, okay? This is the good bit, the bit where you can start to smile and go, whew, amen, right? God speaks a better word. He speaks a stronger word over our lives. He speaks better words. And God wants to do that for you and for me, to speak a better word, or to put it in another way, he wants to change your name. He wants to change your name. And this has been my heart for today. As I've considered this now, and we've known we're going to do this series for a long time, and I've been really thinking about this and had this impressed in my heart. And one of the things that's on my heart is that even today, that some of us would be able to recognize words that have hurt and damaged, marked and labeled us, and that we would encounter a God who speaks a stronger word than that. So those things that have damaged us, those things that have hurt us, those things that have wounded us, that we would encounter God in a way today that he speaks a stronger word and brings healing into that place of our lives. And so I have a few examples of how that can work. And I can't give every single thing. We'd be here all day. But a few examples. If you wear the label failure, well, God's word speaks to us a stronger word in Romans 8:37 that says, no, in all these things, you're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus who loved us. If you're feeling guilty and you wear this label of condemned, guilty, doesn't measure up, will never be able to stand before God. Well, Romans 8 verse 1 declares, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you've had a sense in your life for whatever reason that you're unlovable and that people couldn't really love you with that intense, agape, non-feeling love, well, the word of God says in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfeeling kindness. If you have a sense of being rejected in life, where people in your life didn't love you and people in your life did walk away from you, well, the word of God, again, it speaks a better word. Ephesians 1 verses 4 to 5, that the God of all the ages says this, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. He chose you. God doesn't reject us. He chooses us. God that knows us better than anybody else says, I choose you. If you're feeling alone in life and you've lost people and whether it's been through bereavement or they've walked away and you have this sense of loneliness and aloneness within your life, well, Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If you sense that the label you're wearing is that you're anxious or you're a worrier, well, Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace, him whose mind is steadfast and who trusts in you. God speaks a stronger word. God speaks a better word over our lives. Now, what I'm not talking about is, and I've said this before, I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. Okay, I know I've said this before, and there's nothing wrong with thinking positively, right? Some of us could do with a measure of it, okay? But this is so much more powerful. Positive thinking, I've said before, you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you say, I'm a champion. But if you've got no medals, you've never become first at anything, you're not a champion, right? But we can look at the Word of God and find out truths about who we are, and we assert those truths in our lives, and we know that we are loved. So I can get up in the morning and look and go, I am loved. I'm accepted by the God who knows all of my failures, all of my mistakes, not just what I've done or what I'm doing. He knows what I'm about to do. And yet he still chooses to love me, to care for me, to give his life for me. Wow. And there's stronger truths within our lives. Maybe you're feeling a bit hopeless, and the label that you've got over your life at this moment is hopeless because there's stuff that's going on within your life, and you're feeling so, oh my goodness, I just can't change that. I can't do anything about that. It's just getting awful. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. Even like some of the things that Helene was saying through that word of encouragement this morning, and you're wearing a label of hopelessness. Well, the better, the stronger word, we've even heard it through worship today, that he is a sovereign God, that his plans are still to prosper, that he is still moving, that he is still working, and every giant will fall. That's the stronger words that God speaks over our lives. He speaks a stronger word. And so as we come to close, God wants to change your name. He wants to change your name. He wants to change that thing that has labeled you, whether it's been at this recent time or whether it's been a long time that you've struggled with something that's going through your life. So what do? How do we allow God to change our name? First of all, we've got to identify the lie. What is the lie that's going on in our hearts? Paul talks about this in Corinthians, and he talks about taking every thought captive that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. What's the lie that's going on in your head? What's the lie that you're hopeless? That you're a bad parent, that you'll never be a good wife, that you'll never fall in love, that you'll never find that person to spend the rest of your life with, that you'll never make your marriage work, that you'll always struggle in work, that you'll never have joy, what is that thing that's being spoken over your life, that you're a failure, that you'll never become anything, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never be as good as your brother or your sister? What is the lie that is going through your head that is like a label that you're wearing? Identify it. Because so often we live subconsciously, and we it kind of affects us massively, but we don't identify it. What are the words that have hurt us and wounded us? What is the name we have been given? Identify it. What is the label that we've been wearing? Next stage then is this. Rip off the label. Take it off in Jesus' name. Imagine that name. And I want you to use your imagination. We're going to do this in a moment. But I want you to use your imagination and imagine I was going to do this, but then I thought, oh boy, people will be writing some serious things on labels, and then they'll not want to write it because it'll be written. But I want you to imagine that the wee white labels? Imagine that name written on your label. Imagine those words or that name, that label written like a name badge. And what I want you to do whenever we come to prayer is rip it off. Like physically within your mind, just imagine yourself just ripping it off. And what are you doing by doing that? Well, you're actually saying, I don't agree with this. I don't agree with what that name is. I don't agree with those words. I don't agree with it. It's not who I am, and I will not live up to this name. Rip it off. And finally, change your name. Put a new name badge on. Change your name. Listen to the voice of God. What is God saying over you? And so if you're struggling, because I was sort of thinking, well, some people might, because you might be feeling so guilty that sometimes it's hard for God's voice to penetrate through that sense of guilt and condemnation. Well, I want you to turn the table then. If someone else was coming to you with that label, what would you tell them God's saying to them? Because we're easier at giving other people advice than ourselves, aren't we? So what would you say to the other person? What would you say to someone else who's coming and saying, this is the name that I'm wearing? And then turn it back around on yourself. Give yourself your own advice. hear the voice of God and what God is saying over you. Now imagine that name written on a label and put it on. That's the start of the journey. Because I have had labels that I have wore for decades that keep wanting to kind of get back on. They keep wanting to I'm struggling a bit with that. But keep the label on that God speaks over you. The words, the better words, the stronger words that he speaks over you. Thank you so much for your patience. I want to move into a time where we respond to what God is saying this morning. Richard, would you mind coming? The reason, I'm not trying to make it more emotive. The reason I want this is so that you've kind of got space. You're not hearing the people beside you. And I want Richard just to play. And it gives you an opportunity to focus your mind and to hear God. But very easy for us to go, okay, yeah, we heard a few concepts this morning, heard a few things this morning, and we could go out and things not really change for us. But I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit has put this on my heart, put this, and I mean, this was one of those sermons that just came like that. Because I just sensed, God, you know exactly what you want to say to your people this morning. And I believe that God wants to speak into lives, turn things around, and change your name. Can we stand together? And if you're here today, and you're saying to me, I actually don't struggle with any of this. None of this is relevant to me. Well, can you spend your time praying for everybody else that it is relevant to? Don't just stand daydreaming, but ask God to come. And ask God to move. Ask God to touch people's hearts. Because God could start something this morning that brings healing, brings redirection, that speaks stronger words over our lives. Thank you, Lord. And so, this morning I encourage you to identify the lie. Maybe you find it easier to close your eyes and just to internalize for a moment. Be aware of the presence of God in the room. And just allow God to walk you through this morning. So as you open up your heart, the Holy Spirit, he guides us, he walks with us, he enables us and helps us. So identify the lie. What's God not agreeing with this morning that's written over your life? What are the things that have been said over your life that you just know that's had a deep impact? It's a lie, it's not true, I've believed it for too long. It's like a label that I've worn. Whatever it might be this morning. Some of you will find words are just coming to your mind right now. Sometimes it's just random words, but I want you to even consider some of those words. God, are you speaking to me in this? Are you revealing this to me? And so as he reveals lies and labels that we've been wearing. For some of you, this is going to be hard because some of you probably for decades have been agreeing with this lie and agreeing with those things that have been spoken over your life. And what I want to encourage you to do right now is to begin to rip it off and to begin to disagree with it. To begin to say, no, God, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that negative word that's been spoken over my life. Whether it's words of parents, words from teachers, words from society. You're just going to say, no, I actually don't agree with that. Don't agree with what that's saying over my life. It's not the truth. This is where warfare begins to happen. This is where it becomes a to and a fro and a wrestling like Jacob wrestled with God. Because our natural inclination is to fall back down into it and to agree. And so you're going to, just with determination, with the help and the strength of God, say, no, I'm ripping that label off. And I would love you to just picture that in your mind's eye of that label coming off. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now in your mind's eye, I want you to write down the stronger word that God's speaking over your life. I know this is quite different for a lot of you, but to speak over the word that God is speaking over your life. Imagine even writing it down. What is it that God's saying over you today? Again, if you're struggling with that, what would you say to someone else? What would you say to them if they had the same label that you've just tore off? What I would love you to do then, once you've written that down, I'd love you just to put it on your chest. You might actually physically want to do something and say, yeah, I'm just putting that on right now. Putting that new label on. You just do it in your mind's eye. Just say, God, I accept that I'm forgiven today. Accept that I'm accepted by you. That those negative words, that's not true of who I am. The real sense whenever Helene was speaking, I'm just going to go with this, but I'll not call it out. I just want to have a real strong sense of this, that there's even a couple here today, and you have seen over your marriage the label finished, and you feel like it's done, you feel like it's beyond hope. And I believe God wants to speak a stronger word over your marriage today. You need to rip that off. It's not finished. It's not done. But there's hope. There's newness. There's the restoration of that love that once was there. And so even right now, would you just accept that into your own hearts? It's not done. It's not finished. It's not complete. There's newness of life. There's healing and restoration. Just come, Lord. Some parents, you're living under the condemnation that your kids didn't go the right way, that you're feeling like you didn't measure up as a parent because your expectations for them and what you feel at times others' expectations haven't fully come to pass yet. Might be that they're not walking with God. It might be that they've come across hard times and you have believed a label, a word over your life that you didn't do a good job as a parent. And you need to rip that off right now. You need to know that you're loved, that you didn't fail, that you're not a failure. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just come, Holy Spirit, and move in this place. Touch hearts and touch lives. Move, oh God. Move, Lord. Father, we pray today that you would do a really deep work in our hearts. Pray today, and Lord, you've led us into something today that's been very different to what we usually do. But Lord, I pray that you would come. And Lord, I believe that you have set this day apart so that you could begin and start a work in some of our lives. Lord, where lies and labels that have been accepted for years, Lord, could be ripped off and broken off our lives, and we could hear the stronger words that you're speaking over us. And so, Father, would you give us ears to hear your word, ears to hear and align ourselves with the things that you're saying over us. Thank you that years and years and years ago, you changed Jacob's name. You turned things around for him, Lord, and you called him a man who would triumph with you. Not with his own manipulative ways and lying and deceit, but that he would triumph with you. And thank you, Lord, that you can change our name. You can change our label. You can change who we are from the inside out. So, Father, I pray you'll begin that work in us today by the power, the love, the nearness, the closeness, and the amazing work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.